and how that the scriptures let us know you can overcome it, and you can endure it, and you can escape it. Amen. And I'm thankful that all of those aspects are available to us. As we don't have to be overwhelmed with the temptations that the devil brings. Now, he is a powerful foe. And without the presence of the Lord, and not without the promise, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Without that promise, we would be in bad shape. But thank God, he delivers us. And that's what we want to hold on to in the blessing of the Lord. Amen. James chapter 1, we'll just revisit one of those verses, get started here tonight. James, the first chapter, James in with his practical insights to much of the Christian experience is mentioning that enduring aspect. And the reason I look at that is for the latter end of the verse. James 1 and 12. Let's read this verse together. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Praise God. So there's a lot at work here. Besides the temptation, don't focus on the temptation. We know that that slams you, that hits you. But there's a lot of stuff at work here in the by the Lord. His love, his promise, and the crown of life. Amen. Much that you could turn your focus upon and ignore the temptation. Not dwell on it, not be thinking about, oh no, here we go again. But no, recognizing there's the touch of God in your life. Praise God. You may be seated. So we want to just work with the idea of dealing with temptation. I think that's what we called it last week, dealing with temptation. A little history lesson. In 14th century Belgium, there was a duke named Renald, and he had a brother named Edward, and they were at odds with each other. And the younger brother, Edward, led a successful revolt against Renald. He captured him, but he didn't kill him. In fact, in the castle, he built a room around Renald. It had windows, it had a door, a little bit smaller door than normal, but he was taken care of there. And the younger brother said, Renald, you can leave this room anytime you want. You're not a prisoner. But Renald was a big man with a huge appetite. And his younger brother knew that and daily brought him treats and delicious foods and knew Renald could not resist. And he stayed captive in that room. And when his younger brother was accused of cruelty, he said, my brother's not a prisoner. He can leave when he wills. But he didn't have the will to refuse the temptation. So he stayed there for 10 years. His brother Edward was killed in a battle, and so Renald was set free. And he lived for about a year, but his health was ruined by all of the delicious foods, sweets that he was given in the time that he was in that room. Could have walked out, could have stepped into liberty, but because He couldn't resist. He remained a captive. So we want to just look at some real practical things here on how to deal with temptation. Amen. The first one is, don't think you're being tempted beyond what anybody else has had. The Bible calls it common. It's common to man. And because it's common to man, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated in thinking, oh no, this is more than I can handle. Oh no, nobody else knows what this is like. You know, put those negative thoughts aside and recognize that it's actually a compliment that the devil is tempting you, because that proves you don't belong to him. That proves he's trying to pull you down from a relationship that you have in the Lord. Amen. So you take it as a compliment. Amen. But don't feel that it is necessarily a sign of weakness in itself. Now, the devil does attack our areas of weakness. The devil identifies them and moves against us in that way. But I like the fact that God does not put on you more than he puts within you. And you can endure, escape, overcome, and be delivered from your temptation. The devil uses a pattern. He uses a pattern right from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Look at it. Oh, look how nice it looks, you know. And then he outrightly defied and lied about the Word of God. And we take that setting and move to what John said, the love of the world. The love of the Father is not, it doesn't coexist. You're going to have to choose one or the other. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, it's of the world. That's the same pattern that the devil used against Eve, against Jesus, and certainly he'll do it with you. So we're not ignorant of his devices. Doesn't mean we study Satanism and all of that, you know, kind of stuff. No, we stay away from that. But we recognize how important it is to walk with the Lord and his power and his blessing. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. There are times that you are vulnerable, situations that you are vulnerable, and you need to be aware of it. And so this scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that need of awareness and recognizing, when am I most tempted? Where am I most tempted? You know, just see what the pattern is. Who's with me when I'm most tempted? And how do I feel when I'm most tempted? So that's just a way to look at it, to try to identify what you need to avoid. Maybe it's who you need to avoid. And recognize, okay, this is how I'm going to deal with temptation. I'm going to avoid it. I'm going to avoid the source. I'm going to avoid the process. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. Amen. The Message, kind of a different translation or a rendering of each verse, and 1 Peter 5 and 8 in the Message says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Because he wants to bring his temptation into place. Look at Proverbs 16 and 17. It's easier to stay out of temptation than it is to get out of temptation. And that, but, you know, people flirting with the edge, walking close to the edge, not being mindful of the warnings, will step into the realm of temptation. But Proverbs 16 and 17. Brother Greg, read for us there, please. Okay. Another version says, God's people avoid evil ways. You just avoid it. Don't even go that down that way. They protect themselves by watching where they go and being able to understand the situation. See, Paul warned the Corinthians, you think you're standing? Take heed, you might fall. And that's where we've got to understand to be careful. Somebody made up an acronym that spells HALT. And they used these words to fit the letters of HALT to describe situations where you might be susceptible to temptation. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. That's when the devil's really going to roar. And he'll come at you in that, but you've got to halt. You're going to say, you're not going to get me. That's not going to work. Amen. And we refocus our attention. We're not trying to, we said before that resisting temptation just reinforces it because you're just thinking about it more and more. So shift your attention to something else and recognize in your mind is where the battle with sin is won or lost. And so whatever gets your attention eventually is going to get you. So you focus your attention somewhere else. Amen. And someone called that the principle of replacement. That's why memorizing songs is so good, the worship choruses that we sing here. Amen. Memorizing scripture, even if it's just snippets, even if it's just portions of it, because you're refocusing, you're changing your focus. You're singing the chorus in your mind. You're quoting scripture in your mind. Amen. And that's how you overcome evil with good. Now, Romans 12 and 21, probably we put in the context of, oh, I'm not going to repay evil for evil. I'm going to overcome evil with good. And we're talking about interpersonal relationships. And that applies. It applies. But it also applies, overcome evil with good, when you focus your mind on something else. Amen. Like I shared with you, my mother and her battle with alcohol and how the Lord redeemed her, praise God. And she got baptized and she got filled with the Holy Ghost. But the devil didn't give up. He kept on reminding her how good a drink would make her feel. Now, that's a lie. But her health was failing. She wasn't getting around in her little apartment very well. And the devil really stepped up the attack. Just one drink. It'll make you feel better. Nobody will find out. Nobody needs to know. Just have one drink. But she refocused on gospel music, on the scripture. Amen. On scriptural sayings. And overcoming evil with good. That's the step that's got to be taken. And Philippians 4 and 8, you know, sometimes we almost think that Paul changed the subject. When in verse 6 he said, Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then we go to verse 8 as though it's a change of subject. Think on these things. No, he's helping you to understand this is a refocus now. This is what you're doing. If the Lord's going to keep your heart and mind, then you make the effort to change your thought process, your trends of thought. Amen. Think on the things that are going to help you to be an overcomer. Amen. And your minds get filled with things that are good, things that deserve praise, things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and honorable. Praise God. That's the temporary English version, but I thank God that the word of the Lord is able to direct us in that manner. See, for the Lord to keep your heart and mind is in concert with what Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's not just a biological truth. It's an understanding of where we are in our spiritual walk and being able to identify what the Lord would have to come in our hearts. Amen. Praise God. So, I'm not intimidated. The devil's not going to beat me down. In fact, it's a compliment that he's tempting me. I'll recognize the patterns, and because the pattern is general, but he tailor makes it for you and for me, because he knows where we're vulnerable. And so I'm going to identify those things. And I'm going to say, huh, I'll stay away from that. That's not going to be where I'm open. And I'll refocus. Accountability is real important. Accountability. Look at James 5 and 16. Thank the Lord for our brothers and sisters. Amen. Continuing in fellowship. You know, that was the apostolic doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, Acts 2:42. That principle has got to be in place. Fellowship. Thank God for the fellowship that I have with my brother and my sister. And so when the scripture says confess and pray, that's the recognition I have help. Amen. I've got a situation I need to have help with in praying. I'm going to go to a brother I trust. I know he's not going to spread it all around. I know he's not going to share it with everybody, put it on Facebook and all kinds of nonsense like that. I know it's going to be confidential. Hey, brother, I need for you to help me pray. Amen. And the effectual, fervent prayer. Thank God. And I know that's how you pray. Praise God. And I can put my trust in that and know that the touch of the Lord is going to be real as we identify those aspects and pray. Praise God. Pray over those struggles, that vulnerability, and the Lord will be there to work with it. Praise God. Because that's the body. You know, it's amazing, the healing that is in the body. Just, you know, the scripture said thousands of years ago, the life is in the blood. And medical science now is identifying just how true that is. Just amazing, amazing ways that the body heals itself. Amen. And I believe that kind of healing is in the body of Christ as well. And that power can be revealed in that way. So I need to utilize that aspect of prayer. And again, I'm not talking about pulling everybody into your confidence. A brother with a brother, a sister with a sister, and just saying, can you help me pray? Amen. And it doesn't have to be on a negative thing. If you're teaching a Bible study on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, call your brother and your sister saying, I've got a Bible study this afternoon. Would you help me pray during that time? Amen. And that's a good thing too, because I believe in prayer. So we said we don't resist temptation, we resist the devil. 1 Peter 5 and 9. This is a continuation of what Peter is saying as far as the devil and his antics and what he is always attempting to do. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Because of all the foregoing aspects of Scripture that is at hand, and how you can demonstrate through Scripture that the Lord has victory in store for you, continue to resist him. Praise God. And thank God there will be the results that the Lord desires to put into your experience. Now, James 4 and 7, however, gives a preliminary step, a step that is really important for us to do before we resist the devil. And that is submit. Submit to who? Submit to what? Submit to your Heavenly Father. Amen. You can't be in a fight with your Heavenly Father. I like what you said. You fight the Lord, you might win, but you're going to lose. It's so true. No, I've got to be submitted to him. And understand, he can help me resist. And thank God, look at the results. He will flee. Praise God. The message again, the message with some of its crazy wording. So let God work his will in you. That's not crazy. This part is. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. I don't guess I've seen him scamper yet, but but I've resisted him and he's left. Praise God. And thank the Lord that there's that kind of power. Now think about the armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. We're not going to forget prayer. Sometimes we do, because it's not a physical representation, but it's a very powerful spiritual weapon that you have. But of the image of that Roman soldier, the offensive weapon or armor, sword of the Spirit. And thank God the Spirit can utilize that. And the Lord utilized it. It is written. Praise God. And that's our ultimate weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And it goes on and talks about imaginations and thoughts. Those can be strongholds. So pull them down and let the power of the Lord be revealed, because that's what God wants to do. Amen. But that sword of the Spirit, man, start using it. Start defeating the devil. The Bible tells about Satan and his lies. And when the devil comes against you with his lies, you can tell him just like the Lord did. You're the father of lies. In you dwells no truth. You are a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Amen. And thank God, the power that the Lord wants to reveal to you will be in evidence because you're using the word. Praise God. And using the word to protect yourself, using the word to go on the offensive, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Doesn't mean we're in a fortified position here and hell is banging away at the gates. No, it's the other way around. Amen. You're forcing the offensive. And the devil is not going to be able to manifest his power to defeat you. Praise God. So resist the devil. And then ask for God's help. Lord, I need your help. This is where praying the word of God is so important. And, you know, like even real familiar passages. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, Lord, you're my shepherd. I know I'm not going to want. You lead me beside still waters. You lead me in pastures. Amen. And the power of God can come with that word that you're praying. See, again, you're shifting your focus, but you're using the word of God. And that kind of power is what's available as we call upon the Lord. Amen. Psalm 50 and verse 15. Brother Mike, read for us, please.
Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
I like that. Amen. Open invitation. Call on me, the Lord says. Amen. I'm going to ignore you. No, that's not what he said. He said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to rescue you, and you're going to honor me. Praise God. And our lives will demonstrate that. As we recognize God's power, God's blessing, God's strength, amen. And the demonstration that he desires to make of his love and his compassion, his mercies, because he understands our infirmities. And the Spirit, in Romans 8, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Thank God. And those infirmities are weaknesses, areas that we struggle with, areas that we have difficulty. We may have won a battle, we may have lost a battle, but the devil will keep coming back and hammering. Amen. And thank God we're able to overcome those temptations because we do have a high priest. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. And that's the power that is in you. That's why the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. And that's our overcoming power. That's our overcoming strength. You know, the problem with Christianity today, just overall, is the acceptance of what used to be wrong. That's, I mean, it's amazing. Amazing of what, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, what used to be frowned upon is now just, oh, isn't that a great witness? Preachers that I heard when I was young, I'm just like the guy on the bar stool, why should he come to church to, you know, if he's got everything there on the bar stool that he would have here? No, like Pastor Nelson said, this is the greatest. This is the most powerful. This is wonderful. Praise God. Amen. It's far beyond what could be found in the world. Far beyond what can be experienced in the world. Amen. And the Bible says, Psalm 16:11, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. That's the difference that the Lord wants to make in our lives. But here, you know, sometimes here's the problem. Here's the problem. Just like Ronald and the food being shoved in his room. We want to give in. We want to experience that pleasure. We don't want to say no. Give me another helping. Let me take a look again. Let me go to that site again. Ooh. That's the problem. And that's why we've got to just make sure the battle is being won between our ears. And the no, shout a loud no. Amen. And trust the Lord to do that work. Praise God. Because the Lord wants us to call upon him. He's not going to roll his eyes and sigh and, oh no, here we go again. I'm not going to do that. He's going to be there to help you. Praise God. And so the Bible tells us, come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. Come running in. You may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank the Lord, because we do have a high priest. Amen. And that power and that blessing will be there. See, what this underlines, what it underscores, is our dependency on God. Can't make it without you, Lord. Amen. I need your power. I need your strength. I need your blessing. Praise God. And that kind of blessing is how the Lord would demonstrate his strength. Praise God. I'm reading a series of books about the Lord and his ministry through his time in Palestine, Galilee, Jerusalem, and so on. The Taneys are such incredible writers. I enjoy reading their books, and they put background, you know, to a lot of the scriptural stories, put a lot of background to what is there. And one in particular talks about a grape grower. He has vineyards. And I don't know if this is true or not. I'm sure they wouldn't put anything false in their books. But when the vineyard is subjected to a bit of a hard winter or harsh temperatures or strong winds or any kind of hardship, any kind of incident weather-wise or whatever, that would seem to be a negative influence, would seem to be something that could kill or hold back or keep it from growing, being fruitful, and so on. He described it as, no, that actually makes a better grape. That makes a better fruit. That makes it more hardy. That makes it more fruitful. And I thought, that's interesting. And then, of course, he went on to apply it in a spiritual sense. And so when those trials come, that's why James says, think it not strange. When the fire trial comes, I don't like fiery trials. And they aggravate me. And I tend to, you know, call on the Lord and say, what's going on here? But I've got to take that to heart. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. But let the Spirit of Christ rest upon you and rejoice. What? I don't want to rejoice. I want to cry. Sit in the corner and mumble to myself. No. I'm going to recognize there's a purpose that God wants to fulfill. Amen. And because... You know, that scripture in Corinthians where comfort occurs so many times. And in a newer translation, it changes consolation. Paul uses the word comfort, and then he changes it to consolation. In a modern translation, it remains comfort. And comfort is spoken written nine times. Because God is the God of all comfort. And he'll comfort you. And you can comfort someone else who needs the comfort because they're going through what you experienced. And you know God brought you through. You know God did not let you down. You know God provided for you, lifted you up, blessed you, and strengthened you, and brought you through so that there was deliverance, there was overcoming. You had to endure, but he helped you escape. You dealt with that temptation. Praise God. And so comfort comes as you recognize that. And that's why I experienced that. That's why the tears were there. That's why I was feeling like, you know, I'm a bit confused here, God. What's going on? But God uses those times. You hang on. Amen. You let the Lord bring those blessings through you. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Obtain mercy. Find grace to help. Thank the Lord. The Lord's not going to scold. The Lord's not going to fold his arms and tap his toes and look at you with a disdain look. No, you're his child. He calls you his children. He claims to be your father. He calls you his people. He claims to be your God. He said, I will dwell in them. I will walk with them. He wants to spend time with you. Praise God. And that stupid devil. And all of his tricks, all of his slyness can't mess you up in that realm. Amen. You can overcome. You can endure. You will escape. You will be delivered. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 107 and verse 20, bouncing around in my head here for some reason. But he sent his word. There's that connection. There's that weapon. There's the sword of the Spirit. Praise God. He sent his word and healed them. We like that. And delivered them from all their destructions. Praise God. And that's the kind of power we grab a hold of. That's the kind of strength that we receive. Praise God. And delivering from the destructions might be kind of drastic. You know, the battlefield is not a playground. Even simulations of the battlefield, I would imagine, are pretty scary. Those of you who have gone through basic training and had the machine gun firing over your head, do they still do that? You're crawling along and live rounds are going over you? So the understanding here is it can get rough. We know that. But praise God, the Lord is tough. And he brings strength to you and to me. Thank God. Let's stand tonight. So we're dealing with temptation. I'm not going to be intimidated. This is not just special for me to pull me down. No, others have made it. That's why the Bible talks about a great cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews 11, a great cloud of witnesses. There's a whole bunch of people who have made it. Amen. The loved ones that we've said goodbye to just in the last few years, they've made it. Praise God. And you and I can make it as well. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm going to recognize the pattern that the devil tries to use and take advantage of the weaknesses that I have. I'm going to recognize that. When I'm hungry, when I'm angry, when I'm lonely, when I'm tired, I'm going to halt. Say, you're not going to get me. Praise God. And I'll refocus. I'll put my attention on something else. The word, a song. Praise God. And maybe this is where you can use media in a good way. You know, contact your brother and your sister. And just a real quick. And then pray for me. Amen. Could you just pray for me for a minute? That accountability, you know. That one that you've shared with and that you want to have help. Praise God. And then you're going to resist. Resist. And use the scripture for that. You fell, devil. The Lord saw you fall like lightning. How fast is that? 180,000 miles per second. That's getting with it. You fell like lightning. The Lord saw you. Amen. Just throw it right back in his face. And you're going to keep falling. There's a bottomless pit you're going to fall in, devil. Amen. There's a lake of fire that's waiting for you, devil. There's streets of gold for me. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, crystal sea, river of life, tree of life, fountain of life, and a crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. We're in this together. Praise God. And there's victory. that the Lord has for us. So we're going to resist and we're going to request because the Lord's ready. Amen. Let's come and pray for a few minutes here. We've got fellowship downstairs, and a little bit of work to be done, treats. By the way, we're switching from She's for Christ to Christmas for Christ, but we're going to, I'll tell you after we pray. I don't want to get our minds on something. We're not going to be Ronald here and eat until we can't get out of the room. But we're going to be strong. Amen. And the blessings that God has for us. Let's just praise Him together. Shokopo